Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Initiating startup sequence.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Radio Free Readout, the voice of the rapidly emerging American Readout movement. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and it is truly an honor to be your host tonight, broadcasting from the heart of the American Readout. Welcome back, my friends, fellow patriots, and lovers of liberty. I hope you had a blessed and prosperous week. Also, welcome to those of you listening from outside the American Readout. In America and in over 60 countries. Welcome to those who are making your move to the mountain states or who are living in safe havens and refuges that will emerge as future readouts. To our two largest listener groups, fellow survival bloggers, and to the followers of Enola Gay's Paratus Familia blog, I'm humbled as always, and I consider it an honor to have you joining us every week. Hey, thanks for all your emails of support this week. Always a pleasure to hear from you. And thanks for passing along some of the news articles and links. Great stuff. Wow, what a week in the news, eh? Lots going on, lots of uncertainty. In fact, enough to review and analyze in a one-hour segment alone. But we have other things to cover as well. So let's take a look at just some of the news headlines that affect us wherever you may be living. This from the World Edition of International Business Times. As England recovers from five nights of rioting, British police continue to make arrests. So far, Scotland Yard has apprehended about 1,700 people, and they say the number is rising, according to the LA Times. London courts are staying open 24 hours a day to continually process cases of burglary, theft, arson, sometimes with defendants as young as 11 years old. Several people have been killed as a result of random beatings, as well as multiple car versus pedestrian collisions. It's gotten ugly over there, and a lot of experts are concerned that since the same conditions exist in America, many believe that it's only a matter of time before we see the same class warfare, entitlement mentality rioting in the streets of the United States, and likely very soon. Of course, even the British are saying that the Americans would have handled it better because the Americans would have used their military to restore order. Well, rest assured, they will. In fact, what that means is martial law, which was strongly considered by the British leadership. And of course, it doesn't help to know that now there's increasing talk of a new quantitative easing program known as QE3 to become, to come down the line. This is from The Blaze. QE3 may be coming after all. That opening line from a CNBC article says it all. Experts are now predicting that the country's economic woes will likely be used to justify a new round of quantitative easing, which is essentially the government printing money to buy its own bonds. It'd be the third round in recent memory, hence the name QE3. In a dramatic turnabout, market participants now believe the Federal Reserve is more likely than not to resume purchasing assets during the next year in a third round of quantitative easing, CNBC says, regarding its August Fed survey. And China sees it coming. It's not enough that another QE3 would likely expedite the already imminent hyperinflation, But the final nail in the coffin for the U.S. economy would be the loss of the reserve status of that the U.S. dollar enjoys. China knows that. And that's exactly what one of the communist nation's rating agencies are calling for. The headline from CNBC reads, "Dollar to be discarded by the world," says China rating agency. Hey, some great news on the socialistic forced medical coverage train wreck known as Obamacare. This story, that was a quick direction change, wasn't it? This story comes from AP and The Blaze out of Atlanta. A federal appeals court panel on Friday struck down the requirement in President Barack Obama's health care overhaul package that virtually all Americans must carry health insurance or face penalties. I know, right? Now, the divided three-judge panel from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the so-called individual mandate, siding with 26 states that had sued to block the law. But the panel didn't go so far as a lower court that had previously invalidated the entire overhaul as unconstitutional. The states and other critics argued that the law violates people's rights, while the Justice Department countered that the legislative branch was exercising a quintessential power. A quintessential power. How arrogant. The only quintessential power you have is that which falls within the Constitution. You don't have quintessential power outside of the Constitution. That's called usurpation. You just have to keep trying, though, don't you? Another story about government overreach and perpetuating itself. The San Francisco Examiner reported that new security cameras will keep an eye on muni buses. With a $6 million federal Homeland Security grant, hundreds of San Francisco muni buses will soon have high-tech video surveillance cameras that the transit agency can survey in real time. More police state action. You and I are paying taxes so they can watch everything we're doing in real time. How convenient. Of course, they explain that they do already have security cameras on the transit buses, but they're recorded on bulky tapes and the system is 10 years old. Okay, fine. If the city of San Francisco wants to replace them, go right ahead. But that just rubs me the wrong way that this is coming from a grant from the federal government, and especially Homeland Security. They just can't stop reaching out further and deeper. Buying the cooperation from small towns, big cities, counties, and states with an endless supply of grant money. Brick by brick, the surveillance system's being put in place. Boo! I know, I agree. And I want to reiterate that I propose a ban on all government-funded surveillance and monitoring and tracking of citizens within the American Redoubt. I know, I've heard the argument, if you're not a criminal, you shouldn't have anything to hide. You shouldn't have a problem with it if you haven't done anything wrong. Well, if you think that way, then you haven't studied history. Now, on a positive note, this story from the Christian Post, Arizona abortion ruling overturned as pro-lifers celebrate. Wait, I haven't even read the story yet. Arizona pro-life supporters achieved a victory on Thursday when an appeals court threw out an injunction that blocked key aspects of a 2009 Arizona abortion law from taking effect. The ruling allows the Arizona's Abortion Consent Act to go into effect, which requires women to have an in-person meeting with a doctor 24 hours prior to getting an abortion. This meeting, a part of the informed consent laws, is supposed to ensure that the women are informed of the procedure, the possible side effects, and the implications of the surgery before they give their consent for it. And here's the best part. And a victory for the sovereignty of parents. Other provisions include mandating minors to present a notarized statement from parents before getting an abortion, as well as allowing health professionals to refuse to perform abortions if they had moral or religious objections. Great victory. Victory! Well, remember, It's just a small battle that was won in a big war that's far from over. However, this victory did not take place in the American redoubt. So, to our lawyers out there in the listening audience, let's study this, find out how the law was written, and see what we can do to get similar legislation going through the redoubt states. Because now we have case law and the appeals court ruling to go off of. Of course, we're hoping that one day when fragments of our country rise from the ashes, we'll emerge as a people in the American redoubt, where the murder of children won't exist at all and will never be debated in the courts. I dread what might be coming for America, but in another way, sometimes I think the only way we'll be able to restore traditional American Judeo-Christian ideals is by taking advantage of a slate that's been wiped clean. You know that'll never happen, though, not across what is now the United States. That'll happen in regions. And the only way your values and principles will prevail is if there are more of you than any other demographic group. So it's important that you continue with your plans to move here. We're all going to need each other. And another great story, this one also from The Blaze. It's always a memorable summer pastime for kids and a nice little break for the parents. You know, vacation Bible school. Yeah. But some 9-12ers in Kentucky decided to get creative, stepping up to fill the gaping hole left by our disastrous public school system, which has all but stripped our children of their Christian American heritage. Some American patriot adults are fighting to preserve our endangered values by investing in the next generation. The result is Vacation Liberty School, a volunteer-run summer program for kids between the ages of 10 and 15. The 5-day educational experience offers talks, skits, and a variety of activities that focus on American history and the nation's founding. Held in local churches across the nation, the schools run for about 3 hours a day and are mostly free, aside from some nominal fees. According to CourierJournal.com, kids learn lessons that include understanding false extensions of separation of church and state. They learn the faith's role in the Revolutionary War, faith, or Christian faith, and avoiding the enslavement of debt, among others. What a program. Why haven't we been doing this all along? Teachers that are listening, we need you. If you have a heart for children and you want to get involved in putting together something like this, we need you here in the American Redoubt. Let us know, but you've heard me say it before. We have got to invest in the next generation. Of course, you know how I feel about public schools. And I know a lot of you are homeschooling or you have your kids in private or Christian schools. And that's great. See, this program started in Kentucky and it's taken off. And I really want to see America restored. And it's the stuff like this that's part of the fight to preserve it. I don't want to see America fragmented and broken up like so many nations and empires before us. I just fear that it might be too late. And that's why we want to preserve our American heritage, even if only within the safe haven regions, within pockets of refuges we call redoubts. Then that's what we'll do. I mean, that's what the goal of the American Redoubt is all about. And what we teach our children, the next generation, about our heritage will make or break us as a people. So you need to stay informed. And speaking of being informed, I'm pleased to announce that the most recent issue of the Capitalist Papers is out now, and you can view the PDF version online. They have two issues. One's their local issue, which covers the greater Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, North Idaho region. And the other is their national issue. Michelle, the senior editor over there, has done a great job. And the Capitalist Papers are quickly gaining a reputation as a reliable source for news and issues that face us as God-fearing, patriotic Americans, as well as lessons about our heritage and so much more. And remember to support the sponsors of the Capitalist Papers. The Capitalist Papers are sponsored by Patriot-owned businesses and services, and they really need your support, especially in this economy. By the way, that was an unpaid endorsement. We just love what they're doing over there. Also, if you haven't seen the latest preparedness and self-sufficiency newsletter written by Tess over at Ready Nutrition, then check it out. She's on about the 16th issue in a 52-week series on getting prepared. She has some great prepper advice and an action plan that's helpful whether you're a newbie or a master prepper. Also, you can sign up to receive the weekly newsletters for free. More information on that or the Capitalist Papers, you can go to that just by clicking on the logos that we've posted in the highlights and resources posting for today's show, week 11, Sunday, August 14th, 2011. Okay, we're going to take a short break so we can get ready to start talking about the topic for this week's broadcast, martial law. Lots to talk about tonight, so stick around.
If you are a real estate relocation specialist and would like to be added as a resource at Radio Free Redoubt, then contact us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com and type relocation specialist in the subject line. We'd especially like to hear from you if you specialize in relocating businesses into your community.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Redoubt Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Redoubt connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Redoubt is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves redoubters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Redoubt Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreeredoubt@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Redoubt in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
And we're back. You're turned in and tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. Now, we're getting a lot of new listeners tonight, this week. Welcome. And I know a lot of you are listening from outside the American Redoubt. So real quick, I want to say something to you. I know a lot of you are on your way here, relocating to the Mountain States. We hear from many of you, and we want to keep hearing from you. Let us know where you're coming from. What's your plan? We really want to be able to keep the stories rolling in from people who are relocating. We don't bite. We love hearing from our listeners. And we want to hear anything you might be able to pass along that might be helpful to other redoubters that are relocating. And so if you found some internet resources or other resources that you found to be helpful in your planning, anything that we can pass along to others, let us know. All right, now, for those of you who are redoubters at heart but can't move here, we believe that other redoubts will emerge, other regional safe havens, places of refuge, and pockets of conservative Christian and Jewish American patriots. Tell us about yourselves as well, because there's comfort in knowing you have allies across America and in other countries as well. We'd like to hear from you. Hopefully, you'll find helpful information and resources here on Radio Free Redoubt that'll be useful to you wherever you may have to dig in. And again, if you know of resources that could be helpful to us and to other listeners, and you have ideas to help continue growing the Redoubt movement and Radio Free Redoubt, please pass them along. We're all in this together. One thing that you can do is pass along information about Patriot or preparedness events that are happening in your neck of the woods, somewhere in the American Redoubt. Now, we've promoted many events in just the past 2.5 months that we've been on the air, one of which is coming up next weekend. Don't forget to check out the Idaho Liberty Summit information on the highlights and resources posting. And that's a 3-day event scheduled for next weekend. It's coming up quick. We told you it would. From Friday the 19th through Sunday the 21st of August in Challis, Idaho. It's being hosted by the Custer County Tea Party, and they have a bunch of speakers lined up. So attend if you can. Remember, some portions do cost depending on which parts you may want to participate in. Now, we started 4 weeks ago talking about the police state and martial law. Well, we've been saving this portion, martial law, until the end. Not for any particular reason other than the police state and martial law aren't necessarily the same thing. We're not living under martial law. That would be rule by military or a militarized police forces or a combination of both, where many restrictions could be put in place, control measures over behavior and mobility implemented, and even the suspension of constitutional freedoms and constitutional government functions, all for the sake of making you safer. Now, martial law is not subtle. It says, we're in charge, these are the new rules, and that's the way it is. And if you resist, we're coming down on you with all available resources. It's very overt, and it's meant to be. It's both a show and an exercise of force. Now, the police state, however, is not. It's subtle and sneaky. It's covert and secretive. It allows you to move freely so you think you're still free, but it tracks and monitors you. It operates on shadow-like, ever-shifting rules of engagement that are followed by elusive and nameless, faceless committees and task forces, creating a situation where no one can seem to be found who can be held accountable. And we've covered much of that and given a ton of resources, indicators that are unmistakably that point out the emergence of a police state in America. It's coming, but martial law is pure, raw power. And a lot of people believe that our government is preparing for it, not planning for it, preparing for it, where the operational planning for martial law is moved off of paper and the drawing board and is moved to the action phase. Not the implementation stage, obviously, but the groundwork's being laid and the infrastructure's being built. Now, this is a double-edged sword for the authorities. On one hand, we demand that the government and police keep order. And when a riot breaks out and burns a town to the ground, the people scream that they, the government, the police, the leadership, and the community didn't do enough to protect the community. Then when the police do come in busting heads, which I'm all for, we cry police brutality. Well, like I said last week, it's a lose-lose proposition for the police. And they have my sympathy. Hats off to you guys. However, I have a little problem with abuse of power and with tyranny. And with martial law, there's a real danger from two different angles. One is the obvious, and that is that martial law being used as a tool to grab power and suppress the people. The other is what could be called operational drift. And I'll explain both of those as we go, but is martial law in America even a real threat? I mean, can we really reasonably expect to see that happen on American streets? Well, actually, we already have with Hurricane Katrina, for example. And well, people debate that, whether or not martial law was actually officially declared. But when you have a mayor saying, we're confiscating all the weapons, nobody will be able to have firearms, you have martial law. But governments around the world are planning for it. Heads from the International Monetary Fund, the creeps that are instrumental in the collapse of the U.S. and the West, in my opinion, have warned of economic rioting across developed nations and the potential need for the declaration of martial law as a response. So the Pentagon is working on plans based on that exact scenario. This is from WorldNet Daily. Pentagon resources and U.S. troops may be used if needed to quell protests and bank runs during an economic crisis, the U.S. Army War College's Strategic Institute reported. Widespread civil violence inside the United States would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities in extremis to defend basic domestic order and human security, the War College study states. Incidents of economic collapse, terrorism, and disruption of legal order could require deployment of troops within the U.S., it said. A, quote, strategic shock could require the nation to use military force against hostile groups inside the United States. Now, they're already planning for it. And rolling NORTHCOM, the Northern Command's Army North, into the process and the planning. They're planning out the implementation of martial law in the U.S. They're expecting it. And the Department of Homeland Security will be heading it all up. So doesn't that just make you feel good all over? And they're preparing with, what's the word? They're moving with a purpose. Now, if you stock items in bulk, they want the store owner to turn you in for suspicious activity. But they're doing it in bulk. They're buying bulk canned foods and other supplies like there's no tomorrow. Like there's no tomorrow. So you don't think that they know something's coming? Well, I've posted a lot of resources on our highlights and resources posting for this week. And remember, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail and explore every facet of martial law to you with you. There's a lot of people out there who've already done that. I just want to point you to those resources so you can get informed. I know a lot of you are already up on all this, but hopefully we're able to bring something informative to you, even if you're savvy on all this martial law stuff. And, you know, we've talked about the economic situation in America and the coming economic collapse. We also know that it appears to be very calculated and deliberate, this collapse. That and the fact that DHS is setting the stage and laying the foundations for a police state. So, as far as the planning for martial law goes, there are a couple of plans called Con Plan 3502, and the other one's Con Plan 3501. Several document references in the Army Corps of Engineers website are found in a document called the Domestic Operational Law Handbook for Judge Advocates. Keyword, Domestic Operational Law Handbook for military lawyers. And that outlines the legalities of military operations in support of civilian law enforcement and for riot control, internment, and detention operations, and a whole lot more. Now, there's two references that I've posted. One is the Prison Planet Forum on Con Plan 3502, and the other one is at hongpong.com, which has a lot more information about the con plans that are supposed to be implemented under a number of different scenarios that could bring about civil unrest. Of course, our military is largely patriotic, and more of them are making it very clear that they intend to uphold their oath to protect and defend the Constitution and would never go up against U.S. citizens. And I believe that's true. Well, I want to believe that's true. And thank you to you oath keepers that are keeping your word. You understand the Constitution and what your oath means and everything else. We appreciate you. But the left-wing communist and socialist and globalist regime that's infiltrated our government are very deceptive. Most troops would never think of going up against American citizens. They'd only go up against terrorists, maybe extremists, maybe even domestic extremists, if you presented a persuasive enough case to them. But who's teaching them what's extremist? Who defines what's extremist? From what we've covered in the past few weeks, we see imposters and traitors embedded among our own government institutions who are training our law enforcement that people who believe in the Constitution or who homeschool or talk about the Founding Fathers or who support Ron Paul or Chuck Baldwin are domestic, homegrown extremists and potential terrorists. This isn't conspiracy theory stuff. It's open source. It's on the news. It's on the headlines. They're not even hiding it anymore. Someone's got to teach our young men and women in the military who the extremist terrorists are. And who's better trained for that than the Department of Homeland Security? After all, that's who NORTHCOM will be falling under when the balloon goes up. Don't forget to pray over the warriors in our military. Pray for their protection, and especially for the protection of their minds. Protection from those who would deceive them. So what could a government crackdown in the form of martial law look like? Where do they even get the power to do this? What could we expect to see if that really happened? Well, that's a good question. Well, those three good questions. And they've already thought about the answers to those questions. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. So stay right there. I'm John Jacob Schmidt.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
If you serve your country, either in law enforcement or in the military, and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today. You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt on Radio Free Readout.
And it goes a little something like this.
It is another beautiful summer evening in the American Redoubt, in what America used to be not long ago, at least in my opinion. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for listening to this week's broadcast where we're talking about martial law. If and when Teotihuacan comes, the end of the world as we know it, where our world is suddenly changed forever, at least for a season in our lives, could we see martial law? Well, we know that plans are being laid out with that possibility in mind for those who are planning the destruction of the greatest republic in history. So what could that mean? What could we expect? We know that the government's taken liberty to empower itself to take certain actions, a cornucopia of powers and authority that it can select to use at its discretion, based just on the presidential directives or executive orders. The following are options the government has given itself. Starts with Executive Order 12-148, where it says FEMA national security emergencies such as national disaster, social unrest, insurrection, which can be defined and redefined and twisted to mean whatever they want it to, or a national financial crisis. Well, that pretty much covers all of our bases here. So this basically gives FEMA the power to step up as the instrument of the federal government to carry out the other executive orders, which in 10995 provides for the seizure of all communications media in the United States. 9097 provides for the seizure of all electric power, petroleum, gas, fuels, and minerals, both public and private. 9 or 8 provides for the seizure of all food supplies and resources, public and private, and all farms, lands, and equipment. 9 or 9 provides for the seizure of all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, and total control over all highways, seaports, and waterways. Now, Executive Order 11,000 says that it provides for the seizure of all American people for workforces under the federal supervision, including the splitting up of families if the government finds that that is necessary. 01 provides for government seizure of all health, education, and welfare functions. Designates the Postmaster General to operate a national registration of all persons. Boy, this is sounding just like 1933 Germany. Provides for the government to take over all airports, aircraft, commercial, public, and private. Provides for the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations. How convenient. They're taking all the work out of it for you. 11005 provides for the government to take over railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. And 051 gives the Office of Emergency Planning the authority to complete the authorization to put the above orders into effect in time of increased international tension or economic or financial crisis. And who knows how many ors they've added to that since then. Oh, there's so much more. But I came across an article that originally came out of Western Rifle Shooters. What to expect in martial law. Worst case scenario. Eight things to expect. And these are just excerpts from the experts. You can read it in its entirety by clicking on the link titled Eight Things to Expect Under Martial Law. Number one, detention without charges. Expect precautionary arrest, pre-crime prosecution, warrantless, no-knock home invasions, and mass relocations. Now, my added comments on this. With the shifting and changing definitions of terrorists and extremists tied in with the precedents that have been set by the war on terror and the removing of habeas corpus, it'd be easy and conceivable to be snatched up by willing accomplices of the DHS without charges, without legal representation, and more than likely without your family's knowledge of your whereabouts. I can foresee a lot of missing person reports being filed, just like with the Stasi in East Germany. Okay, also expect bills of attainder. For example, laws which designate criminal demographics rather than criminal activities, meaning criminalization of those parts of the citizenry they identify with dissent or opposition. And we're seeing this set up. My added comments here now, you can see this already taking shape. Not laws per se, but you're seeing, like with the MIAC report and other DHS lists, where demographic groups are being labeled as potential terrorists and homegrown radicals, such as the Tea Party movement, just to name one example. Okay, number two, confiscation of property. This includes wealth in any form, bank accounts, stock portfolios, bonds, retirement funds, 401ks. And they're talking about doing this, grabbing the 401ks, because the Social Security system's gone under. Expect private, commercial, rare earth, strategic materials, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And this you know, based on precedents has been set before, where they had the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917, which covered the hoarding of gold, 1930s. Again, here's my added comments to that. The warnings we're receiving for what's on the horizon is protracted food shortages. I'm talking about confiscation of property here. With a forecast total collapse of society, one of the biggest concerns of many experts is food production and getting that food transported to the largest masses of people. And one of the things that I can see is the enforcement of anti-hoarding laws and the implementation of new ones with added restrictions on just how much food you can have on hand. Okay, so let's move on. Number three, restricted travel. Expect a standard universal identification system. Yep, they're working on that. Curfews, travel permits amounting to internal passports. No travel lists. Security checkpoints and a priority system for users of each mode of travel. Expect refugees and domestic terrorists being transported to resettlement centers to have a high priority. Parts of the interstate highway may be intermittently or permanently closed to civilians. Automobiles built before GPS devices and other self-reporting black boxes may command a premium. That's something I didn't think about. This is going to be in high demand. Expect indirect travel restrictions. Now, my personal note on this, I expect that controls on fuel and limited access to it is how they'll make Americans immobile, because that's what I would do. Controlling all the fuel in the U.S. would be easy to do in an emergency situation, redirecting it and reallocating it for the recovery. What a great way to shut everything down. Just tell everyone domestic extremists disrupted the fuel supply in the U.S. That way they can turn up the report your neighbor campaign. You know, if you know of any suspicious people with wrong thinking, you know, people who identify themselves as patriots, then report it at once using the anonymous tip line. This is going to be good. Number four, restricted communications. Expect information. Anti-rumor campaigns on site. On-site advisors for editors and news broadcasters, and protective custody for dissident commentators. Huh. Internet access will be throttled back and conditional, as will be the alternative forms of communications, like amateur shortwave radio, for instance. Some opposition sites will be covertly run by the regime as honeypot sting operations. And this person writes that WikiLeaks would be a likely template for that. Now, my added comments on this. We saw a recent example of this in San Francisco, where the city transit department shut down all cell phone communications in response to a mass protest that was being formed. And just this last week, and people were using their cell phones and social media like Twitter and BlackBerry messaging services to coordinate this protest. A massive turnout was being planned. Now, I have mixed feelings about being able to shut this stuff down. I have to say, if I were the director for security on the public transit in a large city like San Francisco, and I knew of a massive protest being staged in the subway system, I'd want to shut down their ability to communicate too. Wouldn't you? I mean, after London and about 50 other cities around the world this year, we have an extremely volatile climate with the potential for large-scale riots, which always brings death and destruction. And it's coming to America. I'd absolutely want to shut it down, especially before it could start, if I could. And I'd go after their ability to communicate. The problem is, though, that if the government decided to drop the hammer, if we had civil unrest on a national scale, we're all going to get rolled up in it together. Oh, there's so much to this if we really wanted to peel it apart and dissect it, but we just don't have time. So remember that we're going to be revisiting all these topics over time and adding different perspectives, more intel, and plans of action for you to take if we see martial law on a national level. Of course, the larger cities and their outskirts will be getting the brunt of it. Just remember that. Okay, number five, weapons confiscation. Expect revocation of licenses and permits and an expanded list of proscribed weapons, such as muzzleloaders, bows, knives, even sporting slingshots. Expect the usual confiscation tactics like amnesty collection drives, tracing ownership through registrations, and vendor records of accessories purchases. So think about that. Incentives to inform authorities of weapons possession or ammunition trading and the like. Zero tolerance in the schools foretells the spirit of martial law toward weapons. Now, if you can, make as many purchases from gun shows and private sales as possible. If you're ordering all kinds of stuff like EOTEX and quad rail systems for your M4 and all that kind of stuff on eBay, I have just this gut feeling that that is going to be subpoenaed. You're probably going to have someone knocking on your door. So, number six, centralized allocation of commodities and goods. Expect rationing of all goods, including food, clothing, fuel, water, and electricity. Expect the rationing system to be complex, ever-changing, incentivized, and corrupt. Nailed that one on the head. Favored persons, activities, and businesses will generally be generously supplied in the interest of the greater good. Anti-hoarding laws already in place will ensure a general improvidence and dependency. They allow citizens to stock provisions for about the same time period. Now, these anti-hoarding laws is what he's talking about here. These anti-hoarding laws allow citizens to stock provisions for about the same time period as the DHS recommends for emergencies. Get this, 7 to 10 days. So you can stock up. The DHS tells you that you should be prepared for emergencies. You should have 7 to 10 days worth of food and supplies. And anything after that, you're hoarding. Okay, citizen surveillance. We talked about this a lot in the part two, the Nation of Informants. Expect the See Something, Say Something campaign to become a fully developed citizen surveillance system along the lines of Cuba's Rapid Action Brigades, with guidance on reportable incidences, instances using public service announcements. The IRS's whistleblower program may be a template for structured rewards, like participation in the black market, formerly known as the free market, is likely to be high on the list, including barter or transactions involving precious metals, even for the otherwise legal goods or services. Expect abuse of the citizen surveillance system for personal advantage, extortion, or revenge. Now, my personal comments now. We're seeing this take an aggressive upturn. Recently, the FBI's been developing and delivering posters to business owners, encouraging them to report suspicious activity, such as making large purchases with cash. Ooh, terrorist activity there. Or who are buying items in bulk, and so on. Ammo cans, and just it just goes on and on. We've got that on there. We've got that listed. We've got just recently, a couple days ago, we posted a part of Enola Gay's article on that very same topic. So go ahead and check that out. Okay, number eight, price, wage, and currency controls. Expect prices and wages to be capped, and money transfers to be restricted and closely monitored. That was, I think, a pretty accurate list of eight things you could expect during martial law, whether on a national level or within a localized region. And as far as targeting people's ability to communicate, there's a really interesting article linked on the highlights and resources posting for today's show that goes into some of the options the government might have for shutting down comms and some thoughts on the viability of each. One of the things that's frustrating the governments is the social media's lack of cooperation with the governments. They're saying, no, people still need to be able to cooperate. But so what they're doing is the government's going after like cell phone towers, powering down those type of systems. So anyway, I want to keep the things in the right perspective here. Martial law in and of itself is a reactionary tool available to governments to deal with really a spontaneous explosive outbreak of mayhem and chaos, where the government needs to do whatever it takes to make the merry-go-round just stop for a minute, because things are getting too crazy and people are going to get hurt and property is going to get destroyed. I'm okay with that. And I know that on that level, most level-headed, rational people are for that. If a riot broke out in my town where people are randomly being beaten, raped, and robbed, and our businesses were being burned to the ground because only rich people own businesses and they need to be brought down and forced to redistribute the wealth, I'd absolutely want my local law enforcement in riot control gear, even the National Guard if necessary, to come in, busting heads, and using whatever force is necessary to restore order, including lethal force. And I don't mean sparingly either. And when it comes to government actions, the right action and the wrong action, black and white, does exist, but it's separated by a mile-wide strip of gray. And that's where things can go wrong. I don't see the planning that's taken place by the federal government as benign. I see a system of control and oppression being set up that looks like it came right out of a Stasi manual. Of course, knowing now that DHS actually hired a former head of the East German Stasi as an advisor doesn't make things look very good for the home team either. See, because that term I coined, operational drift, we saw that in Hurricane Katrina. No police officer in New Orleans or any other of the officers who came there from other regions and states, none of them said, hey, let's go to New Orleans and act like a bunch of tyrants to the hurricane victims. They went there because there was a breakdown in law and order and they wanted a piece of the action in helping restore it. But being caught up in the moment and being from other large cities where gun control measures were much more strict, they fell right into the anyone with a gun must be a criminal because where I'm from, only criminals have guns mode. And they used as much force as they wanted in disarming citizens. Some got caught up in the fog of war, for lack of a better term, and reportedly participated in some of the shooting and looting. But that was a temporary event, and people were held accountable. Just recently, several officers were convicted for the murder of a citizen that they claimed was shooting at them. And as it turned out, the man was unarmed, and evidence and testimony revealed that one officer even planted a handgun on the victim to support their story. And several officers were charged with a bunch of other charges in the cover-up. And that all came undone for them, and now they're in jail, held to account for their actions. Justice served. Though some dispute that. The other side to martial law is when it might be used as an operational strategic tool to gain absolute control. Where things get so bad in America, or at least things are made out to be so bad, the ultimate power is exercised over the people for their own good. Operational drift is bad, but so far we've only seen it in isolated incidents and in temporary events. If the government implements martial law on a national level, that's when a lot of people fear that so-called dissidents, homegrown radicals, and potential domestic terrorists will be rounded up. And when operational drift takes place inside that arena, there will be no accountability or trials for officers who go beyond the law and the scope of their duties. And if so, if there are, then probably not for years afterward. And unfortunately, most will walk free. So they think. You've heard a lot of talk, you've read articles, you've watched videos of martial law bringing about events such as mass relocation of Americans, that internment camps are part of the plan, and that seems really hard to grasp. But that's why we call it Teotihuacan, the end of the world as we know it, where things are forever changed. I was talking with someone who said, we're already there, our country's changed so much. It's the end of America as we knew it. I understand his point, and I agree, but still, that ain't Teotihuacan. Teotihuacan won't be an adventure. It won't be fun. I know this is gloom and doom type of stuff, but gloom and doom talk by generations past has become their reality in different times and places. They warned us what to watch out for. They pleaded with us not to forget the lessons from their experiences so we would never again allow it to happen. And all the signs they warned us of are present, right here in the United States of America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. It's time to be brave if we hope to remain free. And we're going to talk about some of the plans the Department of Homeland Security has for some of these relocation camps. And we're going to talk a little bit about what you can do during martial law when we come back. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Don't forget to check out the videos page found by clicking on the videos tab on the blog. You'll find useful and informative videos about our American heritage as well as the issues of today. Also, if you feel led, please financially support the organizations and ministries that produce the videos so they can continue keeping us informed.
If you're an amateur radio operator and you believe in the American Readout movement, contact us today to find out how you can join the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. We've been introducing you to the topic of martial law in America. What does it look like? What can we expect, and what can you do about it? We're going to start winding things down tonight, and I want to also say what we're covering tonight is not conclusive, end of topic, period, end dot, never to be brought up again. I'm not going to go into certain areas with this, mostly because it's not the right time. Baby steps. Okay, if people are being herded into cattle cars and hauled off to relocation centers, the fight's on. And certain leadership will rise to the occasion and take certain courses of action when the time comes within the American Readout. As things deteriorate across the country and around the world, we'll be addressing certain tactics, techniques, and procedures as the tactical situation changes. But these things definitely need to be in the back of your minds. There's too much information out there to be ignored. I know it's inconceivable that some in our own government are actually taking action and are in various preparation stages for interning very large numbers of Americans. They say it's in case of a mass immigration crisis. I think if they were honest, they'd call it a potential migration crisis, where people will migrate by the tens of millions, especially out of the large metropolitan areas where food shortages will be felt the hardest. We've added several videos that support the use of fusion centers, the use of fusion centers, FEMA action plans, DHS ran FEMA relocation centers or internment facilities, and they're stepping up their efforts. In early 2006, tax revenues were allocated to building modern internment camp facilities with Kellogg, Brown, and Root, that's KBR, which at the time was a subsidiary of Halliburton, received a $385 million contract from the Department of Homeland Security's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The contract, which is effective as of January 26th, provides for establishing temporary detention and processing capabilities to augment existing ICE detention and removal operations program facilities in the event of an emergency influx of immigrants into the U.S. Well, where have they been for the last 15 years? This is the other part of the contract, to support the rapid development of new programs. Wonder what new programs means. That's nice and vague. The contract may also provide migrant detention support to other U.S. government organizations in the event of an immigration emergency, as well as the development of a plan to react to a national emergency, such as a natural disaster. Just hypothetically saying. Now, I know some of you know all about this. For some of you, it's been a while. And for those of you who are overwhelmed and blown away by all this, just calm down. Educate yourself, disconnect your cable TV, and start preparing physically, logistically, spiritually, mentally, and work toward being as self-sufficient as possible. Because I believe the strongest candidates for going into relocation centers are going to be people who are completely helpless, defenseless, and starving and need to run to the government to be rescued. And there will be facilities that will take you in where they'll feed you, give you a cot, a blanket, and shelter. And it'll be like going to the airport with full searches and confiscation of anything that could be used as a weapon. You will be helpless and completely dependent on them for everything, right where they want you to be. So, how do you survive martial law? Well, that depends. If martial law is put in place in response to a localized event, your best survival will be to keep a low profile, travel as little as possible, avoid high danger areas in the community, do what you're told, keep your lips zipped about what preparations and firearms you have, and hide, redistribute, or spread load what you have so it's not all in one spot, all in the same room, or all in the same building, or even the same property. There's a really good article on Tripod about surviving martial law that I wanted to share with you. The author thinks about like I do on some of these things. Of course, I have other thoughts on this too that I won't share until the time is right. I'll be discussing and writing more about this in the future, but this was pretty well thought out, and I'd love to hear feedback from any of you for ideas and thoughts that could be added to this. So he writes, bullet number one, prepare before any declaration of martial law by becoming self-reliant. Hey, that's what I said. You may become subject to a bureaucratic system and be prepared to stay one step ahead of it, which is easy to do if you're prepared and in a position to be self-reliant. You may also face mob rule, chaos, panic, or a complete breakdown in law and order. Survival situations may be easier to handle in rural areas than urban, no doubt. Avoid areas of martial law. It can be imposed due to natural disasters or man-caused events. Important to have a retreat or place in a rural area away from populated areas. Create an alliance with like-minded neighbors or community members that share your views. Teamwork and numbers may help your situation. Of course, become transparent in the sense that you do not draw attention to yourself or your family. For instance, do not tell people that you're storing food just to store food. Be prepared to render assistance to neighbors if need be. You never know when you'll need them. OPSEC here is critical because you will either A, be demanded possibly at gunpoint or by a large number of people to give up because they have not and you have and it's not fair. Or you could be reported to authorities for hoarding, and it might have to be taken to a centralized location to be redistributed because you have more than 7 to 10 days of food, and that's not fair. Another bullet point, remain calm, do not panic. We can make a whole segment on that. Psychological effects of survival situations. Avoid areas of civil unrest if possible. If caught in civil unrest, take appropriate action. Okay, take appropriate action. Whatever do you mean? Well, what the author means here is do whatever it takes to disengage from the situation. Always walk away from a fight when you can, unless it's an ambush and you're the one initiating it. But be prepared to defend yourself if you have to. If you get caught up in a riot-type situation, resist assaults from rioters with everything inside of you. Do not resist police in that situation. Even if they thump you and handcuff you, that could be your ticket out of a mob environment. You'll get cleared later, charges will be dropped, and you'll be alive. All that, of course, assuming you weren't part of the mob in the first place. That's me talking there. Okay, get informed and stay informed. Understand martial law can be a temporary crisis or an extended one. In extreme cases, the shape of a whole nation can change. My own comments here, that's the worst case scenario martial law situation that I was talking about earlier, where we'll talk about more on that later on. And that's the one where the shape of a whole nation can change. That's a different ball game. When people are being forcefully disarmed and relocated into internment facilities, that's certainly a game changer. Next, declaration of martial law means your rights are suspended and it is government by decree. Your constitutional rights may no longer apply. This could mean a state of national emergency. Well, that's pretty much what they already say, and that's how they're going to try to justify it. People can be arrested and imprisoned indefinitely without charges. That one is especially true, especially with the war on terror and a lot of the cases and precedents that's been set there, where they don't have to even bring charges against you. They can just detain you. Freedom of speech and freedom of assembly can be suspended and censorship of the media imposed. Count on it. Gun ownership will also come under severe attack during martial law. Count on it. We can see house-to-house searches by the military or National Guard looking for guns, like we did in Katrina, and seizing any they find, along with stored food. Take a stand on issues and make a choice that fits your beliefs and the situation. Do you believe as Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death? Realize you may have some hard choices to make. Understand you may have to sacrifice your principles on trivial matters or take a hard stand. Always remember that you may have to come back and fight another day. Okay. That was a pretty fair listing of what to do in a martial law situation. Generally speaking, a martial law situation. I generally agree with the author's assessment. There's another source, too. We've listed it on the blog called The Martial Law Survival Manual. It's kind of spendy, and I saw a copy of it about 2 years ago. I borrowed from a friend. I've been trying to track the guy down who bought that so I could borrow it, but I couldn't get my hands on it before today's broadcast. Basically, the guy says, in martial law, do whatever they say because you'll be outnumbered. At least that's how I took it. Or at least that's what jumped out at me the most when I read through parts of it. And it really rubbed me the wrong way because I'm like, do what they say? Forget that. I'm fighting. I'm resisting. Well, I had some time to kind of process his message, and I understand the point he was making. If you're under martial law, they have absolute power, and they are going to use it. If you approach a checkpoint, you may not like it. They may be asking you questions about where you're going, where you're coming from, where are your papers, and so on. It might make you boiling hot mad. But in that environment, you start flipping them a bunch of stuff about how they don't have the right. It's going to turn into step out of the car, sir. And you're outgunned, and you're outmanned. And you just brought attention to yourself. Same thing if they come knocking on your door. You get into a shootout with them, they're going to pull back, bring in a Bradley or an Apache, and kill you and your family. I know, I'd rather die free than live as a slave. But there's a time and a place for everything. The book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. And there's a time for war. And there's a time for peace. You have to know when to do what. And the Holy Spirit will let you know what to do at the right time. I believe that. And I know it's hard. I'll go around and around with myself over that. And I have that discussion with my friends and certain family members. How do you know when to do what? When do you lay low, go along with whatever they tell you to do, then afterward, file a lawsuit and get compensated for the food they took and your guns they took? And when do you resist? It's a balancing act. If you wait until you're getting loaded onto a train, is it too late? I mean, the Japanese went along with it when they were herded into camps under World War II. And the ones that didn't resist are alive today to tell their stories. And it became a season in their lives that turned into a distant memory. And they moved on to have productive lives and pursue the American dream. But in Europe, going along with the program led to the slaughter of millions. And the model that I see being put in place does not give me any assurance that things will bode well for anyone who just goes along with it, not this time around. So where's that line? When do you take action? I know where I stand on the issue, and hopefully I'll never have to share it with you. But that day could be coming for us in the coming years. We'll see. We'll talk more about that in the future. I'd like to direct you to an article that Chuck Baldwin wrote recently titled Romans Chapter 13, Setting It Straight. For those of you who may be struggling with the dilemma of following every order your government, like turning in your firearms, for example, or moving your family into a relocation camp with only one bag and a carry-on, what do you do? If you're a Christian, you know that we're called to follow the laws of the land. But the tyrants will use, misuse, and distort the context of that scripture and others to manipulate you, to convince you to obey. Obey. So you need to understand the proper context of that. Chuck Baldwin's got a book on that very topic that might be helpful to you. So check it out. Also, you can go back and listen to the broadcast from week 6 titled The Church from July 10th. Radio Free Readout, John Jacob Schmidt Show. And that'll give you a real clear understanding on my views on that topic, as well as the role of the church in difficult times ahead. Remember, everything we've covered tonight and much more is listed with links in today's highlights and resources page for your own research. We want you to continue educating yourselves, staying aware, and getting equipped and prepared to meet the times we have ahead in America. And we're going to need each other. We're going to need to lean on each other. Hermits will not make it. Remember to pray for us at Radio Free Readout, and I want you to know that we also pray over you as you make yourselves ready. And for those of you, so many of you, who are making your move to the American Readout, we invite you to stay tuned because right after the show, we'll be playing yet another old-time radio classic from I Was a Communist for the FBI. This week's episode titled Exit on the Left. We hope you enjoy it, and then right after that, in about 28 minutes or so from now, we'll be re-airing Martial Law and Introduction, the show you just heard, in case you missed any of it, and we have to do a little shell game to make room on the Podbean player to upload tonight's show so you'll be able to listen to it during the week, or download it for your listening convenience. Also, remember to tell your like-minded friends about Radio Free Readout, and especially about the American Redoubt movement as conceptualized by former Army intelligence officer James Rawls, who has done a remarkable job over at survivalblog.com for the last several years. What a great resource for getting prepped. We've listed other great prepper resources on the blog. Just scroll down until you see that toward the right side of the page. Please email us throughout the week to let us know what your thoughts are on Radio Free Readout and any ideas for improving. Remember, Radio Free Readout is not the American Readout movement. You are the American Readout movement. We want to be your voice, so let us hear from you. You've got a lot of homework to do this week, and so do I, so I better get started. Do not live in fear, but just prepare. And remember what Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. You all have a great week. I look forward to being with you again next Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout. Good night.